Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. At St. John's Lutheran Church in Island Lake, Illinois, my reputation preceded me. At my home church, I developed quite the reputation of asking questions, and lots of them. Years later, I found out that this tendency of mine scared off potential Sunday school teachers for my grade. I guess even at an elders' meeting one time, it was brought up by my pastor saying, "This kid asks a lot of questions in confirmation class." Well, at least it paid off. I ask a lot of questions, and as I look at our text this morning, a lot of questions just pop into my mind. The first is this: why is John baptizing people? Since when did Jews baptize? Question two: why is Jesus baptized? Isn't he holy? Isn't he perfect? Why is he having the same baptism that sinners receive? And question three: why are we baptized? As we look at and answer these questions this morning, the meaning and significance of our text unfolds before us, and we see the importance of Jesus' baptism and even our own. So question one: why is John baptizing people? John is doing that to prepare people for Christ's upcoming work and ministry, and his clothing even helps to show this. The Lord had promised that he would send a second Elijah who would come and prepare the way for his son. And John is this person, and his clothing really helps to show that because he is even dressed like Elijah, who also wore a leather belt and a vest of camel's hair. The people came out to the desert to see and hear a real live prophet, for there hasn't been one for over 400 years. The people longed for one, and his clothing identified him as such. And as the people go out to John in the desert, we see how his preaching and actions help to prepare the people for Jesus. John is preparing them with a baptism. He has the people repent of their sin, and then they are to receive forgiveness. And this forgiveness is seen with a baptism, for it serves as a sign of their forgiveness. But John baptizing people is really kind of a strange phenomenon, for Jews normally aren't baptized. Many groups in Judaism at that time practiced baptism, but it was only done for non-Jews and Gentiles. John baptizing Jews is a significant thing because it shows that Jews are no different from Gentiles. Their circumcision, their flesh, their race, their heritage, their ethnicity doesn't affect their standing or relationship with God. But their heart does, and he shows that. All people need to repent and to be baptized to be ready for Christ's coming and ministry. His baptism of repentance prepared the people's hearts and lives for the coming one who was mightier than John was. The people needed this call to repentance and this forgiveness to be ready and right for their Savior. His baptism prepared them. And as Mark finishes recording the preaching of John in our text, look who appears next. It's none other than Jesus, the one whom John is not worthy to do even the lowliest task for, like untying his sandals. It's Jesus who appears, and he is coming to be baptized. It's rather quite puzzling, isn't it? Only sinners came to be baptized by John. So why is Jesus? Isn't he holy, perfect, righteous, innocent, without fault? Why does he need to be baptized? And if you're confused, don't worry, because so is John the Baptist. In Matthew, we see a conversation between the two in which John says, "I shouldn't baptize you, but you should baptize me." So question two: why is Jesus baptized? What does his baptism show us? The text says, "And when Jesus came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven came saying, 'You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased.'" Our Lord's baptism shows us many things. For one, it fulfills prophecy. Isaiah foretold that the Christ would possess the Spirit of God. And we see at his baptism, the Holy Spirit descends on our Savior, which fulfills that prophecy, showing that Jesus indeed does have the Holy Spirit. And his baptism also shows us just who he is, the Son of God. In this event, we see a beautiful Trinitarian scene. The Father gives his witness, the Son receives that witness, and the Spirit testifies to that witness. Jesus is clearly shown to be God's Son, and he's shown to be a pleasing one at that. The Father's good pleasure shows that Christ is holy and sinless, for how could God be pleased with him if he was none of these things? And the Father's good pleasure shows us that the Son has his confidence and that he has been set apart for a special purpose to achieve our salvation. For Jesus was also baptized for us as well. When Jesus was baptized, it signaled the beginning of our redemption and our salvation. In his baptism, Jesus took his place with sinners, people like you and me, and took on the sin of all people. Our sin then led him to Calvary, repaid the price of it on the cross. There, he bore the punishment of our shortcomings of living a holy, perfect, and God-pleasing life. When Christ died in our place, Mark records at the temple curtain, in the Holy of Holies, the place where God's presence on earth was torn in two from top to bottom. The same word for torn is used only one other place in Mark's gospel, and it's here in our text as the heavens were torn open. What's the point? Jesus' death for us allows us to have access to God and to have a relationship with him. In God's sight, we are his sons and we are his daughters with whom he is well pleased. That barrier of sin is gone and nothing will separate us from God. Through the blood of Christ, he has torn the curtain from top to bottom. Heaven is torn open for us, and it will one day, through faith in Christ, be our home. Jesus was baptized for you and me so that we could be saved, so that he could take on our sin. And question three, as the people were baptized, as Jesus was baptized, why are you baptized? Or should I say, why were you baptized? Baptism is more than a sign. It's a reality. It's where we are united with our Lord. In our epistle reading, Romans 6, Paul says that in our baptism, we are buried with Christ, killing our old sinful self, and then raised with him again to new life. Everyone who has been baptized has had this happen to them. When children are brought up to the font, that's what happens to them. That's what happened to you as well. You have been buried and raised with Jesus. This is an unexplainable event, but we know what happens in baptism when we take Scripture at its word. And this union with Christ in his death and resurrection gives us many blessings as well. It gives us a freedom from sin, death, and the devil. Sin no longer rules over us. Death no longer rules over us because it has no rule over Jesus. The devil cannot accuse us because we are righteous before God through faith in Christ. Our baptism allows us to walk in the newness of life and to live for God and to serve him. Our baptism is where we are united with our Lord in his death and in his resurrection. This morning, I furthered my reputation of asking questions. And as we look back at our text, it really does produce questions, and these answers are really critical for our understanding. Why did John baptize? John did it to prepare the people for Jesus. Why was he baptized? So that he could take on our sin. And why are we baptized? It's where we are united with our Lord and Savior. Are there any more questions? I hope not. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus, the one you were baptized in. Amen.